It's been quite a while since I've released a midweek miracle episode, but here we are. It's the season of giving, and this episode is so perfect for this time of year. My guest, John David Graham, has really led an unconventional life, and as you'll hear, is a witness to many of the events that took place in the last century. So speaking of giving and this time of year, John has really, really centered his life around doing good for others. And what does that look like? How can he do it? How can he step into it? How can he be someone that lifts others up? Well, as the interview progresses, you'll hear all of those stories, but particularly I want to just let you know that John is the founder of Good Samaritan Home, which is a housing and mentoring program that helps men and women restart their lives after prison. John's done so many things. He's been a door-to-door salesman, a children's home counselor, a substitute school teacher, truck driver, fireman, building contractor, minister and journalist, among many other vocations. He truly is a chameleon and inhabits each of these roles and has inhabited each of these roles with a whole lot of grace. He has lots of life experience. He's an incredible human being. He has lots and lots of anecdotes and stories. And you know how I love me a good story. And so with that introduction and without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to John David Graham.
We had a man who came to us in 2009 or so, one of our first residents, and he was already, I think he was 67 years old, and he was schizophrenic, so he had issues. Plus, he had legal issues, and he was in and out of our houses, and he stayed, by and large, for 14 years with us because he was, when he came to us the last time, he was on the street, freezing and near death because he had nowhere to go, and he stayed with us for 14 years. And when he eventually died, at one point, he told us this was the only home he ever had.
Podcast because I love art. I love beauty. I love art from all over the world, especially since I grew up all over the world. But there's this Catholic icon that has always just resonated with me and is so exquisite. And it's three people. They look like women and they're sitting at a table. But the front of the table, there's no one sitting there. And someone explained to me once, oh, well, that's the place for you. They're sitting there waiting for you. They're welcoming you in. They're beckoning you. There is a place for you at this table. And I think people want to hear those words, that they're welcome, that they can belong, and that they need community. The community is so good for us, you know? It feeds our hearts. So thank you for that point. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I wanted to share a quick anecdote. We had a man who came to us in 2009 or so, one of our first residents, and he was already, I think he was 67 years old, and he was schizophrenic, so he had issues, plus he had legal issues, and he was in and out of our houses, and he stayed, by and large, for 14 years with us because he was, when he came to us the last time, he was on the street, freezing and near death, because he had nowhere to go. And he stayed with us for 14 years. And when he eventually died, at one point he told us this was the only home he ever had. So that his name was Jimmy. And that gave an embodiment to what we are doing, is that there is a whole world filled with Jimmys and they're unlovable. And we can't clean them up until we take them in and just accept them where they are. And then eventually they will find a home with us, and then they'll change. And he became, you and I would call it civilized, but he became safe. He felt safe.
John, you can anecdote with me all day long. I will accept all of your anecdotes. I love them. And also a really powerful story about the challenges that so many of us have accepting people where they are. And it doesn't mean they're going to stay there forever, but maybe they need a helping hand. Maybe they need $5. Maybe they need $100. Maybe they just need to be told that they look beautiful that day. Maybe they need a cup of coffee. The need is going to be different in so many places. Yeah. But I think you're using the word safe is so important, because I think a lot of people don't feel safe in today's world, whether they have a home or not, whether it's what they hear on the TV or the radio, whether it's, you know, what's going on in their family. And we can all be of service and be there for each other in different ways. We just have to see the opportunity, I guess, and be non-judgmental about it. So thank you. Thank you for that anecdote. I loved it. It's
unfortunately
powerful.
There are many people who try to verbally convince people to change. And so we talk at people instead of just shut up. My best sermons are the ones that I say nothing. I've been looking at the political scene now for the past several years, and without taking a position here, what I observe is the politicians who seem to be looking for which way is the wind going and how do I bend to the wind so that I can go with the direction of whatever that may be. And they go like this. And I have found that when it comes to making a courageous decision or a hard decision, you don't suddenly make the right decision. It comes from a long series of minor decisions where you do the right thing in small ways. So that's why I just finished a Substack article today where basically I concluded was your vote Tuesday may not change the world, but what you do in your corner of the world day to day will likely change your corner of the world. And so we look for political heroes, we look for strongmen, but the truth is that it takes one little step today. And what you and I are doing is we're trying to make a difference somewhere, somehow, in a small way.
Everyone, I hope that you loved meeting this stellar human being and hearing a little bit about his life, his experiences, and I hope that you reveled in his storytelling as much as I did. Suffice it to say, here is another human being who's bringing a whole lot of beauty into this world. And I think hearing stories like John's and hearing about people's lives and how they can inhabit so many different roles, well, I think that gives us all permission to be chameleons, to be agile, to change vocations when necessary. We don't all have to be just one thing, like a journalist or a counselor or even a fireman. Throughout our lives, we can do and engage with many different things. So I love John David. I feel like he just gave me permission to maybe, I don't know, go back to graduate school or something. That's the danger of interviewing these guests. I get really, really big ideas. To learn a little bit more about John David and his incredible book, Running as Fast as I Can, there will be a link in the episode's show notes. Because, oh yeah, did I forget to mention? John David is also an author. Thanks to all of you who listen to this podcast. If you feel it in your heart, in your bones, that you want to give me a rating or leave a little review, I would be ever so grateful. Those ratings and reviews help other people find us. Thank you for listening. And here's my one request. Be like John David. You already know what I'm going to say. Be a chameleon. Dream big, live large, imagine huge, imagine bigger than you could ever, ever think. Because you are the architect of your life. You are the one that gets to design the paths that you take, the roads that you travel. So if you want to be a fireman, if you want to be a park ranger, if you want to be an astronomer, go out and do it. Be a chameleon, be flexible, be open to the dreams the universe has for you. And I'm pretty sure that you'll look around one day and you'll look back at your life and you will realize that you lived it with courage, with fortitude, and with a whole lot of gorgeous grace.